Well, we never ever stand. We never ever stand in the middle of a JM the AM show, but I'm going to stand for the heroes of the IDF who just walked in here. Yeah, you may want to get this documented, that I'm actually standing. I think the last time I stood for anybody was when my father of blessed memory walked into my studio on that fateful day in 2008. I think it was the last time I ever stood Dafka for a guest on JM the AM. But I'm standing because it is out of respect for the IDF soldiers who have just walked in and are spending time with us on a Wednesday morning here at JM in the AM. Because we have a list here of three potential guests, I will ask the two gentlemen who are two officers who are sitting in front of me to identify themselves. Who are we speaking with this morning here at JM in the AM? You are?
My name is Gabby Katz.
You're Gabby?
Yeah.
From Chicago?
From Chicago.
And this is?
Eitan Drafkin.
From?
Also from Chicago.
Well, I have regards for you. Really? I was at Emma's Friday morning, so regards. I don't want you to think that we're shirking our responsibility to do what we can in diaspora to help our soldiers here. But we needed a break from that, so we ended up at Emma's on Friday morning. And you're joined by Yitzi Rothschild of Teaneck, New Jersey. Yitzi, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And the three of you are sitting here, just so I could paint the picture for our audience. The three of you are sitting here in your uniforms. We've been told that at least one of you, maybe all three, you'll tell us, are literally here from the front. Eitan, am I right about that?
Yeah, all three of us are
here. All three of you.
Yeah.
Literally from, and first of all, is there anything I'm restricted from mentioning here, or you'll tell us if we get into any?
Go for it.
Okay, go for it. It's right.
Free carpet, whatever you want.
And what were you going to say when I mentioned the front? You were about to say something?
Or? Now we're all together.
You're all together.
We're all together. Yeah.
And you've spent how much time together? Have you been together since you were deployed?
We went to yeshiva together here, and we were in the army together, our full service, and then reserves also.
Right. Now, this all begs the question before we talk about the current war, and I know you literally just showed up here and likely have things to do that are much better than sitting with me for the next few minutes. I appreciate your indulgence and your patience, but this all begs the question of how does a regular Jewish American boy from Chicago or Teaneck get this desire and then with tremendous enthusiasm serves the Jewish people in this capacity?
Wow, it's a big question, but I think a lot of it stems from the chinuch that I was given both from my parents, from the institutions I went to, both from INJ and TEBC. This is the ideals that they gave me that inspired me and led me to where I am today.
It's pretty amazing. And I assume the two of you have a similar answer if we'd ask you. So who's going to tell us about the last couple of weeks? Again, with whatever you could share, who's going to tell us about the danger that you've been in? And frankly, I was today in Herzliya for the Shiva call for the lone soldier who I was told was just, I don't know, a kilometer away from you guys when that rocket struck their tank or somewhere in the neighborhood, let's put it that way. So obviously you were in harm's way where you were serving, and that's got to be a scary feeling. And in general, I mean, we know what the enemy wants to do and what they have the potential of doing. So what was the experience like over the last few weeks?
I actually started in America. So I wasn't here when it all started going down. But yeah, it's definitely been an experience. You really see and feel the enemy. And you understand how important it is to be there to make sure that the average citizen of Israel doesn't have to deal with that.
And how different is what you know from what we know? In other words, we are sitting here wondering, is Hezbollah going to start up in the north, right? It's one of the biggest topics of the day. I'm assuming that you're briefed by your commanders, what to be prepared for, what the likelihood is of different things happening. I mean, and you're laughing a bit as I say this, because I hope that doesn't mean you're not as prepared as I think. But I mean, but what is going on in the daily routine of a soldier in your situation who's anticipating the possibility of the enemy attacking?
So actually, most of the time, half the time, we don't have our phones on us for certain things that we do.
Security reasons.
So therefore, actually, you're probably more informed about some of the things than we are. The things that we are informed about is we're regular soldiers, and therefore, they tell us a need-to-know basis. So they're not going to tell us a bigger picture because they know we're going to show up on the Nachum Segal Network and going to want to share it with the world.
And start blabbing, right?
Exactly.
We're sitting with three heroes. You guys, seeing your disposition, you must hate the fact that I'm calling you heroes, but whatever. To us, you are.
Gabby's the real hero here.
It's Gabby. He's the one, huh? He's the leader. Gabby, Yitzi, and Eitan are here, literally back from the front. So now, sadly, we were told that this leave is only 24 hours. And
That's amazing.
It is amazing because you at least have a day off, right?
Yeah.
We haven't been home since Simchas Torah.
Right. Did you leave from here? Where did you leave from?
I wasn't even home. I was in Yeshiva with these guys here. And I was coming here and then... Yeah.
Did anybody leave from their home in Israel or Yeshiva? So
Yitzi and I were in Yeshiva for Simchas Torah.
Here or somewhere else?
No, here. Like
here,
in
literally
Yeshiva,
in this building.
In this building. Here.
So my son saw you... In 10 minutes, get out of here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And there's certain things. You're in a rush. You don't really know what's going on. I was zochet to be able to go get a bracha from Rav Nevin Saul in the Old City right before I left. But as soon as we left, I ran home to my apartment in Baca. Yitzi was there.
I was waiting.
Packed up our, backed up our stuff, and we started driving. And it was the weirdest thing. Most of the cars we saw driving on Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeret, were on Shabbos, were all like... people in Madim, in their army uniform, and a lot of them were religious people, and it was just such a weird atmosphere that was going on.
And essentially from then till now, have you been doing the same thing, been in the same place? Like what, until this time off that just started, have you been at that same base the entire time?
Pretty much, meaning the first day we got all our gear, we got a little briefed on what's going on. We went, you know, after that first night, we went already to our base. We switched off from different places in the area that were up on north. But pretty much, we were doing very similar jobs every day.
On the border.
You'd have to agree, and obvious, just to the listeners realize that you're talking about the northern border, obviously, with reservists split, I guess, I don't know what percentage, north and south. I have to assume that you and your commanders expected some type of... accelerated activity once Simchas Torah ended. I have to assume that the way things were going, that you expected in the first week to really have to be, you know, at the top of your game, so to speak, and quite obviously, it's not a secret, all that, it seems, has been delayed. Now, I'm not asking you for predictions about when things will or won't start, but does it affect the morale when, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you guys thought that you'd at least have to be, you know, in the state that I described, at the top of your game, on high alert, and now things have been, you know, a little different than expected?
As time goes on, it definitely it gets harder. You know, you have to remind yourself you got to stay fresh and sharp, and you can't lower your guard at any point. But at the same time, the longer you're there and preparing, you know, you get comfortable with the boots again. You see all your guys again. You run drills together, and you actually, the more time goes on, we get stronger.
Anybody been at the base yet to grill up some delicious hamburgers and hot dogs? Or you guys were not the beneficiaries of that effort?
Not yet. We're hoping tomorrow night.
You're hoping tomorrow.
We're hoping tomorrow night someone shows up.
See, I have something to look forward to.
That's why we're going back.
It's exactly.
And now the big question: What do the Drabkin, Rothschild, and Katz parents think about all of this? Especially when they are having. When they're having trouble reaching you,
because
I hope they're listening. Hey, I need ratings. I hope they're listening. Especially as you described, at least half the time, generally speaking, you're unreachable, right? That's fair to say, at least half the time you're unreachable?
They've got nothing to worry about. We are cutting cucumbers and tomatoes, making salads, and everything's great.
That's the whole thing? That's the extent of your service? Huh?
Yeah,
pretty much.
You're not dressed for that role, by
this
the way. I would expect an army apron.
This is a kitchen knife.
And not that AK-47 or whatever that is. I think it's a more serious weapon
knife.
Than that.
I don't even have one. It's good.
You can't share with us parental reaction to all this?
I'll add in one thing, if that's okay. For being up there, one of the special things is that we have each other. That, you know, we have three of us here. But like up there, we're about 50 guys and like a family up there. We have each other for the last 2.5 weeks. You know, we give each other food, we look out for each other, we make sure everyone's taken care of. So for my parents, you know, it's very hard for them that I'm here. They don't know, we don't have our phones 24 hours, sometimes 72 hours. And it's very hard for them. But when they know that I have, you know, these guys, I have Gabi, I have Eitan, I have Jordan Panich, who's up there, Ari Levine, and a few other people up there with me that were together, you know, give them a more just confidence that everything's, not confidence, what I'm looking for. What?
Faith,
you know, more comfort. More comfort that everything's okay. I guess comfort's a word.
And you also have one other with you.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's obvious. That's a given.
But you must feel that. You have to feel it.
We feel that, yeah, every day, every single second that we're in the field. But I was saying before, you know, to actually have each other there, my parents thought that just because I don't answer my phone doesn't mean that one of these guys won't answer their phone. My parents are very much in contact with all of us. And the fact that, you know, I might not answer, but Gabi can't answer, gives my mom almost the same, you know, Yeah.
Do any of the three of you have younger siblings?
Yeah.
Do they do they think you're the greatest hero in the history of the Jewish people?
I hope so.
They better.
No, but I'm being serious.
I think by now. If I was in TBC hockey, it's probably now.
What is a greater position to be in the hierarchy of the Jewish community? A star of TABC hockey or a member of the IDF forces? That is a question I'm going to ponder for a
while.
There
we go.
The next time I see Coach, who's the coach we always see at Sammy's? Poppy's? Not Mo. Coach Blumenthal was his last
Norm.
Name? Norm. When I see Coach Norm, I'm going to ponder that question with him. Which is a more glorious position? Are there any other TABC grads in your unit or that you come across in the Army?
In our unit, Samuel Anson was with me back in the day, but not in reserves. I know right now Shlomo Krupnik's in Milim. Not Philibert might be, I'm not sure. Fyuda Fuchsbermer from TNEC.
It's amazing.
A bunch of guys.
I think I'm on the wall on TBC. I got into one of the pictures, so I don't know if that counts.
Where'd you go to Skokie?
Yeah.
The yeshiva? Yeah.
I think
pronounce
just so
it
from
properly, please. I was just in Chicago for the weekend. Yeah. I'm pronouncing it properly. Boy, I'll tell you, you guys have. I feel bad taking up your time, and you have so much to do. But just thank you. First of all, how will you spend these 24 hours? Are you going to sleep for 18 hours? Like, how are you going to spend these 24 hours? Besides being on JVM.
I was going to stay here for a few more hours.
I was pretty enjoying this moment right now.
It's such a great show. You want to stick around. Huh? But seriously, what are you going to be doing? I know what I would do if I was told you have 24 hours off. What are you doing for the next 24 hours? Is sleep part of it or not?
Hopefully. We haven't got that far yet. You know, right. We just literally got back to Yerushalayim, and I'm still have to go home to Givat Shmuel.
Right.
We'll see. Hopefully my roommates will be there. I think they're throwing a little party tonight because haven't seen them in 2.5 weeks.
Nice.
But yeah. Well, as we go, we'll figure it out.
You'll get together with friends.
Friends, laundry,
and go to sleep early.
And eat chocolate chip cookies.
I need some cookies, right. Yeah.
Just go back to something you said before. It just popped into my mind. I heard this quote in the name of someone else who was talking about I think it was the Six-Day War. And he was recounting his experiences and how everything that they planned didn't go exactly as they thought. And everything that did go well wasn't because they planned it. Thank God some of our plans work out pretty well on the front lines. But I think it's like a real message. I don't know. Gabby's writing a whole book about messages and stuff like this.
Seriously?
But that's definitely one thing that when you're there, you really see it. Like, thank God we do our best, but when things are like this, it's really just all in his hands. So,
and we've got to recognize that. What was it like seeing Rav Nevensall up north?
So I'll tell you a story about seeing things in Hashem's hands. So I wasn't supposed to get off this morning with them. They were supposed to be off. I was still I was actually in the middle of one of these 24 hours. I didn't have my phone, right. And they called me out.
Gabby's been very lonely in the past few days without me and Yitzi next to him. So.
It's true. It's true. I have been very lonely.
It's rough on the front lines, fellas.
It's tough.
So I was there, but the day before I was having a really hard time because without friends there, and it was just a tough moment. So I just opened up some Tehillim. And I was just like saying to Hillim, just like asking for a little bit of help. And then I write like this journal thing. And in my journal, I quoted a piece by Rav Nevensall. Mm. Just happened to be that I quoted a piece by Rav Nevensall. Right. And the fact that I was able to get off and to have Rav Nevensall out of who knows where come and visit our base, which is only about, you know, like 50 religious chayalim that were there, opposed to where he's going to visit hundreds or thousands of them, was just like in the same Beit Knesset where I was saying the Tehillim, asking Hashem for help to get me to be off with these guys. I just, there's no greater, if you just open your eyes to things of the sort, it's really incredible, especially when you're doing things that are so much ruts on Hashem, so much of what you think Hashem really wants from you. It opens up so many doors and so many ways of seeing, you know,
and just so people understand that this happened today.
This happened
meeting with him, right?
Yeah,
2 hours ago.
Four hours ago.
What time is it now?
Yeah, 5 hours ago.
It's almost 4 o'clock, so we met Rav Nevensall at 11 o'clock.
Amazing. Yeah. And he takes his Avas Yisrael very, very seriously. He has tremendous love for everybody. I'm sure you feel that way when you see him. And was he, I assume, giving out blessings, brachos, to everybody who was walking
Yeah,
over
he only stopped. He stopped at our base because he was dropping. Our friend was off yesterday.
Seriously?
From here.
And serious?
Our friend got a ride with Rav Nevensall.
It was
the
a
base.
Coincidence.
Yeah. But then he went to second base, and they sent the pictures from both bases from the other base. The text was forwarded that, you know, they all got around Rav Nevensall for a picture at the end, and then at the last second, Rav Nevensall just put his arms around the soldiers and just gave the biggest smile in the world.
Unbelievable. Finally. You guys know the American Jewish community. You know Chicago. You know New Jersey. Are you aware of the efforts that are being made to support Israeli soldiers. I don't just mean financially, but in general, people of all ages back home, so to speak, we know that this is home, but you get my point, are doing everything they can to, you know, express unity and love for you guys here. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I can just only speak for myself. I know I've had multiple people and organizations reach out and saying, can you send us a chizuk video? Can you send us a Dvar Torah? Honestly, I've been not so great about that. I haven't really had my phone. But, you know, I was talking to one of my friends who's back in New York right now, and he said, you know, it's kind of tough because, you know, the first few hours, the first few days, you know, everyone's donating, everyone's running around, but then he's not sure what to do with himself because he's got to live his life. But he has, you know, he's got classes, he's got shir to go to, he's not sure, but he's not sure should he be checking the news all day, what should he be doing? So I don't know if this is an agreed upon opinion, but, you know, I was thinking to him, I shared with him, I was like, you know, we're not looking for you to stop your life, you know? And like the reason we're doing what we're doing is so you can continue. So obviously, you know,
nice to know that they're thinking of you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely nice to know that they're thinking of us. And I told him also, he said, like, we're not sure what to do with ourselves. You know, like, you might not be on the front line, but even if you're not, like, there's so many things to do, whether it's a donation or it's going to organize stuff that's being shipped or to Tehillim groups or learning initiatives. There's endless amount of good things to be done, and they all help.
I was in Yeshurun on Shabbos, Rabbi Cohen. I'm sure you're familiar with the synagogue. If you would have heard the way he spoke about you guys, and this is somebody who, I don't know if, you know, in his area of the Jewish world, there are that many soldiers or there are that many, you know, people who are interested in doing what you're doing, but the love that people have for the Jewish people in general, especially someone like him, but for the soldiers in particular, is pretty remarkable, and I'm glad you're feeling that on this side of the world. What about New Jersey? What do you hear about activities back there?
What don't I hear? what isn't happening in Teaneck, both Teaneck, New Jersey, and New York? That is so much. I can't. Whatever I say now won't do justice to all the good things and like incredible chesed that they're all doing there. Between A, just the text messages get, making sure that our base has food every night, just at least one hot food a night, or just making sure that everyone up north has clothing.
Have you heard about the duffel bags that are...
Heard.
That are being tossed out to the plane?
I flew with 12 of them.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I feel guilty. I only flew with one. I feel terrible.
I had to be with me. No, but you should just know, you know, whenever we get these, like, packages of food or whatever it is, you know, everyone always has, like, the little kids, like, write, like, a little note on it. And, you know, I remember, you know, back in the day being a little kid, I remember, like, okay, you know, who cares? Soldiers.
Are they even going to look at it?
It's not even to make it to them, most likely. And I'll have you know that we've been on multiple bases now. We've been hopping around, and every single base I've been at, there's where everyone sleeps, the little corner of the food, and right next to it, there's a huge wall with every single letter that showed up. And it's taped there, and people look at them. Some of them are funny. Some of them a little graphic, I'll be honest.
But hey, most, it's 2023. Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, yeah. aggressive. No, but some of them are, no, but most of them are loving and supportive, and in all languages. And they're coming from all over the world, and it's touching.
Amazing. Anything you want to add, Gabi?
Just back to the school thing.
Sure.
In my free time, I was able to speak at the high school at Ida Crown Jewish Academy and also at the middle school, Hill Torah. And it's just all the teachers just want to encourage, use this opportunity, really encourage the students to maximize on their learning, maximize on their chesed that they're doing. Sometimes adding programs, but also a lot of the times it's just bringing meaning to their learning. And just like the pasuk goes, Om Dod Hayu Raglein B'Sharayich Yerushalayim, we talk about the people who are learning. You have the people who are standing on the borders, which are the soldiers, but the schuyot are from the people who are learning Torah. And like it's really, that's what like the schools I feel like are trying to emphasize in their Talmidim and Talmidot, like in the high schools and the middle schools, and really just trying to give them like more chizuk in their learning to be able to come, you know, learn better.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I just want to add, though, that in your segment of the Jewish world, there are a lot of lonely mothers and wives right now who are taking, or I'm sure you're serving with guys that had to leave their families. And that's and that segment, everybody is in pain and anguish and everyone's doing everything they need to do, as you just described, and I admire all of that. But the greatest sacrifice is the one that is being made by those families that are apart from each other during all of this.
I agreed. And there's a great initiative. I don't know if I can say from who it is, but from Noah Greenblatt from Teaneck. And he actually was sending to Chayalim's mothers pictures of their kids with a nice apron and Shabbos candles, him along with his fiance, and they're sending it around across all of America, which I think is like what you're saying. We're focused on the kids, we're going to focus on this, but the people who are the big sacrifice are the spouse or the parents. And I think there are people that even they think so much that they're even focused on the biggest sacrifices, which are them.
No question about it.
We've got the easiest job, and we're told exactly what to do. Everyone else.
Can we do it?
Isn't it amazing that you think you have the easiest job, and all of us think you have the hardest job? Is that funny?
Or is it just a little sweatier? That's all
that's
it is.
It.
How long did it take to train to use that weapon? Can you learn in a day, or you need a week, or what?
You want to try?
I don't want to try it here, that's for sure. Maybe an open field, I think about it.
Our whole training was 8 months, so I guess.
But including the use of the weapon?
It's not even close to the whole time. We did a few weeks on it, and this one took a little more time, but.
And are you required, or are you volunteering to carry that around over the next 24 hours, or you're encouraged not to carry with you for the next 24 hours?
I think Yitzi actually should answer this one.
Yitzi, what do you got? Are you required to wear it or not?
He might be humble. Yitzi is our machine gunner, so he wasn't allowed to bring it off base.
Seriously?
Yeah.
And you guys are?
Yeah, these
different
are.
Different kinds of guns. These are a little more safer.
Different
type. Can't compare.
Wow. So on your time off, do you carry it around or not?
We can choose to carry it around. If not, we break it apart and hide in different places and lock it up, etc. Right. But we didn't even go home yet. We literally went straight from up here.
Hey, so their priorities.
Please. No, but also this is great because then people see us with the gun and they think we actually do things. I mean, we do but.
Sometimes.
I want to thank Yitzi Rothschild of Teaneck, New Jersey, now of Israel. Gabi Katz of Chicago, now of Israel, at least for a couple of weeks. And Eitan Dropkin of Chicago, all of whom came straight to us from the front to join us at JMNAM. Fellas, God bless you.
Amen.
All the blessings in the world. There are a lot of people listening right now, and all of whom are with me in wishing you all the best and safety and security, and hopefully everything you're doing will lead to eventual peace for the Jewish people and a bright future for the Jewish people.
Amen.
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 Thank you. Amen.
Thank you all very much. They are actual heroes, as much as they deny it. They are soldiers just returned from the front. The Israel Defense Forces. Achenu b'Yisrael and Achim Achem, our brothers and sisters in Israel, we are with you. It's your favorite America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio around the world, the web at NahumSiegel.com and the Nahum Siegel Network, and of course on the beloved NSN app.